This episode is sponsored by Cards Against Humanity. They asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy!
It is a Chicagoverse podcast on the Dynasty Podcast Network, featuring interviews with Chicago's premier artists and industry, and creatives and culture leaders. Hosted by Haima Black. Welcome to Chicago.
Haima Black, Dynasty Podcast, live from Virgin Hotel, and I am here with Kaina and the Burns Twins. Tonight, we have an incredible show. We're going to be talking with David Drake and Ben Burden later in the evening. On the Dynasty side, Audrey Sutherland and Madison Keenan heading it up with Mallory, I don't know your last name, shadowing. Okay. So we are here from Virgin Hotel, and like I said, our first guest of the night, Kaina and the Burns Twins. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Great.
It's a good day.
I'm great, man. Thank you guys all for coming up.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. So you guys have had a lot of, I think, attention and traction the last few months. And a lot of that was building, like, kind of right when we went on break with the podcast. So I'm really glad we were able to get you on at this point. But how was 2016 for you guys, individually, as a collective, any of that?
I'll start. 2016 was good. It was tumultuous. I mean, me and my brother, we just graduated high school in 2016 because we're babies. and I started college and took time off from college all in 2016, as well as releasing the project with my friends here. And Beddoes, shout Beddoes.
Shout out Beddoes.
And it was good. It was a wild year. It was a lot of fun. It was kind of a relief to start something new. And it was very exciting, at least for me.
You know, yeah. 2016 yeah. was a really amazing year. We had a really long summer of, you know, recording this EP. We released it in August. I had such a long summer. I played with Macy Gray. I joined the Oh My's.
Yeah.
We started being a thing.
We've been a thing.
We played North Coast. And
yeah,
it was honestly very formative for me as a person and as a musician.
The day I left from college, I left from North Coast after playing to the airport.
So yeah, that's wild.
A wild end of the summer.
I was supposed to go to Oberlin Conservatory, and I didn't.
Which is probably good.
Sorry, Oberlin.
Yeah.
Shouts Oberlin.
So I want to ask how the music starts, and then, Kaina, let's hear from you. How was 2016 for you?
Oh, yeah. I didn't just graduate high school.
Neither did I, so don't feel bad.
But I did leave DePaul.
Okay.
To do more music. This is, like, the first time I've taken music seriously, so... Yeah, I was in college doing PR and ad and then left to do music and work. And yeah.
So that's amazing. So for each of you, how did music start out for you guys?
Ooh.
Before even the collaborations, like how did each of you get started with music?
Oh, yeah.
So our father's a musician. Eddie's my twin, hence the name Burns Twins. Mm-hmm. And our father's a musician, and we grew up in music since the womb. And always been exposed, and we were always interested in music. I started playing piano when I was very young and then quit because, you know, a six-year-old doesn't really want to play and practice piano.
No.
And then I started playing trumpet when I was nine and took a liking to it. My dad plays the trumpet as well, and so that was always in my life. And I just kind of went up from there, went to conservatory in high school at Merritt School of Music, and went to music summer camps and was playing with a whole bunch of people, and it just kind of became a staple in my life.
Nice.
Yeah, I started playing the drums when I was six.
Wow. That's so early, though.
Yeah, my dad said, what do you want to play? And I said, drums.
I like to hit
and
stuff.
So I used to have to stand up to play. There's videos of that.
Well, drums, I feel like, would probably be the most fun. Like, I have no musical talent whatsoever, but if I was to approach something, I would want to start with drums because it's not just hitting things, but I feel like that's where I would start. Like,
yeah.
It's just hitting things.
I mean, it's not hard to make a sound on the drums.
Right.
It's hard to make a sound
good.
On
the trumpet
when you're four.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
You know, it's really
he
hard.
Still can't make a sound on the trumpet. That's right on. And then he's 18 years old and lives with two of them. But it's fine. He plays the drums well.
He's heated already. but yes. And then I had many great mentors like Styx from Social Experiment and just many.
Which
people,
is wild.
Many people I'm so thankful for. Our dad taught Nico. Segal or Donnie Trumpet. That was his old name.
And then he started teaching me when I was... I think 12, because my dad had taught him at Merritt School of Music, and then I started going after 8th grade, and Nico was like, I'll take you under my wing, and that was during the time of, like, the height of Kids These Days.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, like, huge for us.
Shout out Kids These Days.
Shouts Kids These Days, the greatest band ever lived.
Yep.
Yeah.
For me, I started in this nonprofit in Chicago called the Happiness Club.
Shouts Happy.
When I was, like, 9.
Yay, Tangie.
Shout out Tangie. And then I started as a dancer, and I, like... could sing but became a dancer for a long time, and then at like 16 started singing and then songwriting and like made a band in high school and was just like messing around. And then I met these guys and then here we are.
You met it at Styx Jam Night.
Met at Styx. So that was going to be my next question is like, when did this collaboration like really start to take form? How did you guys meet and how did you decide that you wanted to actually do something together?
Yeah, Jam Night. Yeah, Jam Night. I actually, what's crazy is I met only Izzy at Jam Night, so I did not know another twin existed.
Right. But I played with her.
But we all played together, which is so crazy. Well, it's crazy, too, because so Izzy's teacher is Nico, and then Eddie's teacher is Greg, and then I took some lessons from Peter. Yeah, so it was literally...
So the whole social experiment family.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, but also, like, doing our own things within the city with, like, you know, music, but, like, so we... played there and then didn't talk for a year, but like would see each other around because like we played together and like they were familiar faces. And then I went to a show and we all got food at Nini's and then became like we just like clicked very well. And then there was this one day in the summer where I like brought some lyrics to Eddie and I was like, we should do something with this. And then we all made a beat together, this song called Mango Kisses, and it's like the first thing we ever did together. And then after that we were like, oh, we should do something. Yeah.
So but you guys were already going to have your separate musical ventures as well, and you decided to combine those at least for this project.
Yeah.
Do you think this is a one-off, or does it seem like there'll be additional collaborations in the future?
Oh, we have music.
We already have more.
Oh, we have music.
Not surprised.
Yeah. Working hard.
So the project came out in 2016 in August, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
How long? It was only in the works for like 3 months, though, right?
Yeah. Straight up. Yeah. We have crazy stories. The twins went to Italy for like what, 10 days or something?
Yeah.
But there was this one day that Eddie made a beat in Italy and sent it to me. And then I have a mic at home. I was here in Chicago and we just sent each other stuff back and forth. And we finished the song called La Luna in like 10 hours just off FaceTime.
And then
the day we
got home,
which was crazy.
Maceo recorded his part at his house. We got off the airplane and went to Maceo's basically. And I recorded trumpets in Maceo.
From Maceo
Hames.
Maceo Hames.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
So, and I mean, it's just, there's so much to unpack there, so let's kind of go bit by bit. let's start, I want to go back a little bit, leaving North Coast and going to college.
Yeah.
From North Coast. Like, what goes through your mind? And then, I'm an educator, I work at Columbia, so I know kind of what the student experience is. How do you sit through an orientation when you've just played North Coast music?
Yeah, that was weird. I mean, like, for us, we were in Rick Wilson's band, and we had this whole fiasco with Rick getting the most votes for the Toast of the Coast competition,
right, yeah,
and then not being put in, and then having other issues that were just kind of ridiculous in retrospect. And so being able to play that, and then, I mean, I changed my shirt. I got off stage, changed my shirt, and, like, said my goodbyes to all my best friends.
So sad.
It was really sad.
It was awful.
But, I mean, I remember walking out of North Coast, and one of my life goals was always, and I have the artist wristband on my keys still.
Nice.
It's, like, was to get artist wristbands like this, like, to play enough music and have enough fun, like, to be able to do that.
Right.
And I remember walking out and looking at my wrist and just smiling. And, like, sitting in the airport and knowing that I basically opened up for Wolfpack and then getting videos from my brother and my best friends of them playing and just being elated. And then getting to college, it was like, oh, I guess I want to be a doctor now and not do music.
And then you stuck with that.
And then I totally stuck with that and didn't decide to leave a month and a half in. But it was just kind of wild. It was a lot of fun, and I was very lucky to be able to do that and kind of show that there's a lot more to my music than I thought there was.
So let's talk about some of the mentorships that you guys have been able to be a part of, which is, I mean, it's an impressive resume where you have, you know, the Oh My's, you have the various members of the social experiment. Like, talk about how some of those relationships kind of originated and then how it became a situation where, because I think a lot of artists would love to have been mentored by some of the names that you've listed. Like, how did some of those relationships develop and how did it turn into an actual mentorship?
I'll start. like, my freshman year of college, I was basically interning for everybody. I started out as a programming and production intern at Young Chicago Authors under Mariah and Neuroth, and then she was managing the Oh My's and No Name at the time, so then she liked my work ethic and, like, pulled me in to also do work for internships for them. And then Sherrod Smith, who's Jamila's manager, picked up on that, too, and so I was literally, like, interning for everybody.
That's the strategy, though.
Yeah, but it was such a, like, a, it wasn't even, like, a strategy. It was just, like, I'm just doing this work, and I like it, and now a bunch of other people want me to do this work, and I'm just going to run with it because I enjoy it and see what happens. So I was actually in a position where I was, like, not even, like, in, like, doing music, like, with those people or, like, learning music under those people, just, like, observing and doing work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the Oh My's, like, became, like, my big brothers and family, and, like, Maseo really pushed me to do music freshman, sophomore year, and, like, is one of the people who was like, you have to do this. Like, you have good ideas. You should do this. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, that's basically where a lot of mentorship came from me, is, like, from one spot and then just, like, branched a ton.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you guys?
Yeah, I remember it was, like, February of 2012 or 13, and I've been loving Kids These Days a lot because of Nico being at my house and just listening.
Yeah, we'd hear Nico have lessons with our dad and be like, oh, my God.
But I found out that through Merritt Music School, Greg Lanfair, or Sticks, had the same teacher that I had, who works with my dad. So I Facebook messaged him and then linked with him at the video for Doo-Wop. And, yeah, so he's just been mentoring me there from there.
Yeah. Oh, I think one of the most wild things was we went to Parker, Francis Parker, which is a school on the north side, mm-hmm. and both Maseo and the first bassist of the Oh My's went there, Carter Lang.
Mm-hmm.
So I vividly remember Maseo and Carter and a couple of the musicians, Zach Wicks, rest in peace, playing at all of the functions for our school and, like, seeing them and remembering, like, Maseo's voice. And, like, Carter is, like, such a solid musician and always being kind of awestruck. So, and, I mean, one of the wildest things was Carter and us, we belonged to the same synagogue, and I was blowing the shofar for the high holidays, and he walked in a full suit, and I was like, oh my God, that's Carter Lang. Like, this is wild.
And there he spit the hottest shofar solo.
Yeah, I was ever. Going crazy. No. But, like, being able to see Carter, I think Eddie started talking to Carter a little bit at something we were at, and he kind of took us under his wing in the early times, like, showing us what to do when we produce, and, like, then we started talking to Maseo, and just kind of getting into the scene, and everybody pushed us through, which was really nice. Everybody we've worked with, be it Nico, Greg, or Niseo, mm-hmm. have kind of pushed us in. I mean, I remember this year we went from our family's house to Peter Cottontail's house for Thanksgiving and, like, spent the night with all of them and, like, just talked to them about music and, like, just life, which was nothing I'd ever expect in a million years.
So when you have these kind of, you know, connections, experiences, mentorships, you know, I'm somebody who did a lot of internships when I was in high school. I was in high school once. It's hard to believe.
Oh.
But, yeah.
No way.
Right. But I remember how valuable that was and how, like, my experience was in radio. And learning from people in their 20s, 30s, 40s who had been doing radio for 5, 10, 15 years. Like,
incredible, yeah.
It was unparalleled to anything I could have put together on my own.
Exactly.
Like, what are some of the most valuable takeaways that you guys have gained from these kind of experience, from both your own experiences and from these mentorships?
Yeah, I mean, like, when you're talking about is, like internships being, like, everything is, like, all those internships my freshman year is basically what made me, like, leave school. Like, I was at my junior year at DePaul, and I was like, this is horrible. Like, I learn 100 times more from, like, people in my community. And, like, that's not to say that you shouldn't go to school. Like, school isn't for everybody. And I learned, like, very early on and kind of, like, took the decision way too late that, like, I learn a lot better just hands-on experience.
Just doing
stuff. And that's not for everybody, you know. Some people, like, work best in a classroom. But I think, you know, mentorship is really important whether you're in school or not. And it's just about what you can take away. It's, like, it's just, like, what I'm going into a situation, what can I learn that helps me prepare for my life in this moment? Or, like, you know, I was doing PR and ad, and that I still love that work, and I still feel like I'm very prepared to do that work if I wanted to. But at the same time, being around all these musicians doing that work for them has prepared me as an artist. So now I feel a lot more comfortable stepping into, you know, whatever I'm doing now. Like, someone asked me yesterday, how is, like, the adjustment from, like, just being an intern to, like, now being the person on stage? And I'm like, I'm still trying to figure it out, but it also feels a lot better because I've had a lot of people to learn from. So it's still not easy, but still, like, really helpful. I would be doing a lot worse if it wasn't for mentorship and internships.
Absolutely.
Well, and you've got the experience on both sides,
mm-hmm.
the artist and the kind of, like, industry side, which is so, it's important. A different game when you have both, like, you know what both sides are like. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you guys? Like, best experiences, best takeaways?
Ooh. I mean, for, at least for me, because our father's a musician, we grew up going to concerts of all types, be it a jazz club or the most eclectic contemporary music you think of, we were always there to see how it all went down. We would see it in our home. We'd have people come from all over the world and rehearse in our house or just have dinner with us, and learning everything that they wanted to tell us. Even if we didn't know we were going to go into music, all those things kind of, I think, in a subliminal way, factor into what we do on an everyday basis now.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, you can't turn those kind of learnings off.
Certainly.
So the record, Sweet ASL, like I said, it dropped August 2016. What has life been like since then, since this body of work has been out? Because it looks to me like you guys have started really gaining some traction with that and really started getting some recognition. Does it feel like that?
I think so. It's
been weird.
It's really weird.
It's really weird, especially because we just stepped into this project out of, like, we all liked this one song and we love each other so much.
We like making music.
Like, we should all be best friends and make music until 5 a.m. every single day. Sorry, Mom.
Sorry, Mom.
Sorry, Mom. We would be just at we would start at, like, 3 and not go and, like, not be done till, like, 4 a.m. And it was probably not the healthiest, but also, like, we were
having
the best. We were just working really hard, and we were just doing it out of love and fun, and then for something that we just worked hard on just because we were having fun. I don't know about y'all. I did not expect this project to, like, receive the attention it kind of is right now, which is why the adjustment is still hard, is because I was like, this is fun, you know?
Well, right, yeah. It started from an organic place, it sounds
like. Very much so.
Very, very organic.
It's really honest, and it feels really good, and it's very natural, because that's all it was. We were just in it. We were in the love. We were feeling the energy.
Yeah.
It was just so natural. Then we're like, oh, I guess now we have a project to drop. Cool.
You just suddenly PR, like, oh, like, I guess we got there.
Yeah, cool. Oh, we need PR. We need to,
you know,
talk to
book
people.
A show and do things. And
I think one of the cool things that we grew up with friends who were also doing similar things. I mean, one of our best friends, who we consider sister Lucy, we had been making music with her, and we'd actually worked with her brother before, who's now out in L.A. Coincidentally, he had gone to the same college as me for one semester, which is what I did. I mean, we were working with Lucy, and then Lucy was performing with us if we were needed people to sing and wanted her to sing, because she's an amazing voice. And it just kind of, like, all came together in a way that we didn't expect. I mean, I remember going to college and meeting someone, and they were like, I've heard your music before. Regardless of you posting it in the Facebook group, I've heard your music before. And I was just kind of freaking out.
That's got to be wild.
It's super wild.
It's super
very
weird.
Well, and you guys, you were just the focus of the January cover story with These Days, which is a great site. What was that like? Because they really kind of, like, expanded on your supporting cast or your, like, your team of collaborators, a lot of the talent that you guys are building with right now. So talk about that experience of working with them and being part of that feature.
I mean, those are all of our friends, like family. So Beto's, who worked with us tirelessly on Sweet as Hell, and Lucy, who was always with us every step of the way for organization and playing shows and having a lot of support for us, and Camaria and everybody who plays in the band. These are all people who are, like, integral in our life regardless of music. And so it was just kind of, like, really, really organic to put these people together and help us create something super great.
And also just, like, a lot of friend, like, really, it just, like, I think our band is really telling of how, like, crazy Chicago's community is, because Camaria and Paige and I had actually been in, like, they were, like, singers with me in my high school band. And then Sam Varen, who plays the trumpet with us, I went to DePaul with, but also plays for Isaiah Obi, who went to Columbia and has Obi, his band, and Obi Orchestra. And then Sam introduced us to Obi, and, like, it's literally just, like, this crazy, like, oh, this is my friend. Oh, this is my friend. And then, like, we're all friends, and we all work well together. Mm-hmm. So, which is what that article was about, is just that, like, you know, it's very telling. Like, Rick Wilson, I met him at Young Chicago Authors, like, very early on, because I would spend a lot of time there, and then, like, now, like, we all basically back him, and it's just, like, it's crazy. We're all, like,
Well, Chicago's I say this in every episode of the podcast, like, Chicago's a very small city. We need t-shirts that say that at this point, because I say that
It's so wild.
Chicago's a small city. Everybody knows each other.
But very small city. Everything's intertwined.
I mean, I was hanging with Kaina at an Oh My session a long time ago when I was in my old band, and she was like, hey, Rick, you should work with Eddie and his band. And now I play for Rick and for the Oh My's and for Kaina. It's just really wild.
Yeah, and that's how it happens. So kind of a couple of questions as we head out, man, because this has been great. And I say this to every guest, and I mean it. Like, I want to keep this conversation going, moving forward. Like, we bring guests back all the time. You know, we're focused on Chicago artists. So as you guys have new projects happening, individually or together, please always come back. The mics are always on. Since you guys have gotten all this great experience, you've kind of acquired a lot of it at, like, a younger age. Like, what advice would you give to any younger artists, high school, college, in Chicago or otherwise, who are maybe thinking, like, man, I want to get a body of work together. I want to start getting myself out there. Like, you know, what would you recommend?
Seek guidance. Ask questions to anybody you can. Regardless of if their name is out there or something or not. Because these are people, there are so many people in Chicago that are not known but know how to work the scene regardless. Also, don't stop working just because you're discouraged. I mean, I've done that way too many times. Just kind of put down my trumpet because I was like, damn, this is hard to play right now. What the fuck? But pick it back up and keep pushing forward. Go back to basics also. Go back to basics. Do the most simple things you can and make yourself comfortable with your instrument, with your craft. If you're doing visual arts, go back to basics.
Be a kind, compassionate human being. That's an important one.
Yeah.
Work with your friends if you have the privilege to. And you're always learning, and you are better than everybody, and everybody is better than you.
Yeah, everyone's better than you, but you're also better than them.
I love this question. I'm very passionate about this because I really care about young people, and especially particularly young people in Chicago. I would say, like, all of us, like, ask questions. Don't be scared to talk to people who you look up to. Like, ask them questions. Seek out programming. I did Young Chicago Authors. I did LTAB. I did After School Matters. I did the Happiness Club. And all of these programs, I would not be where I was, where I am now, and if it wasn't for the programming. So, I mean, like, specifically to Chicago youth, there's programming everywhere. There's programming that will pay you to do what you want to do. So
I was in the Chicago Youth Circus, you know, for crying out loud. Like, you can do whatever you want.
Seek out, like, literally anything you want is possible. Just seek it out. Ask people for things. Look for a mentor. And just don't be afraid to put anything out if it's not perfect. Just, like, experiment. Get out there. Just do it, you know?
Yeah, I love it. Final question. What's coming up for you guys in 2017? What's ahead of you?
Oh, boy.
Again, collectively or individually?
A whole lot of music. Hopefully making music with other people in the Chicago scene. And kind of, it's this idea of working with your family. Make our family bigger. Foster new relationships and create something greater than we already have.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, Burnswins. Music with Kaina, it's going to be Burnswins and Kaina. It's going to be Kaina. It's going to be Burnswins. It's going to be Eddie Burns. It's going to be Izzy Burns. It's going to be Mama Burns.
So it's kind of like the Taco Bell menu in that it's like, there's only like 8 ingredients, but they just keep reordering.
That's kind of how it's been for the last few months. It's just like, we're going to play with everybody, and everybody wants it, can play with us if they so feel desired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2017, new That's music. Lit. I want to travel. I love meeting people. I want to play music other places, just continue to figure this thing out.
Right on.
Yeah.
Hyena Castillo, get that right?
Yeah.
Last name, okay.
Castillo.
Eddie Burns, Isaac Burns, thank you guys so much. Hyena and the Burns Twins. The record is called Sweet ASL.
Yeah.
It's on SoundCloud.
Sweet as hell.
There you go.
Chicago slang.
Chicago slang.
See, I coming from Columbia College, where I'm a teacher, they teach ASL, so I see the letters ASL, and I just think, like,
yeah.
Hey, shout out ASL, about this,
shout out sign language, that's
and so, sweet as hell.
Either way, right on. Is it on Spotify, Apple Music, all those?
Spotify, Apple all Music, SoundCloud.
Right on.
YouTube, actually, too.
Nice, smart.
MySpace.
Kaina and the Burns Twins, we will definitely have you guys back on collectively, individually. Let's keep the conversation going. But thank you so much for coming up tonight to start it. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Awesome. Thank you guys.
Thank you. Yeah. Shout out Dynasty.
Shouts family. You know who you are.
Woo. I love you.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcast. Find more Dynasty Podcasts at dynastypodcast.com. For the Dynamic Dynasty, Dynasty Descend.